This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Payne. Thank you for tuning in. Allergy season is upon us. Runny nose and eyes, itchy skin, hives. You know, these things just don't happen to humans, but also pets. Joining me to give tips on the natural ways we can help our pets during allergy season is holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Morgan.
Thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
This is a topic that is actually very close to my heart because my little dog suffers from allergies. And it got to the point where I thought it was just hot spots, but she was scratching herself to the point where she was giving her little scratches, and it was really bad. And I didn't know where to start. And I think that's like the first thing people start thinking about when their pets have allergies is like, well, one, how does your pet have allergies? And two, what are some of the signs? Because it could just be they're itchy, right?
Right. But, there's normal itching and then there's excessive itching that indicates you've got a bigger problem going on. So for our pets, we can have environmental allergies, so pollens and, you know, grasses, weeds, trees, mold. Environmental carpeting products can also cause allergies or intolerances can cause them to break out. I see it commonly with carpet powders, sprays, cleaners. That sort of thing can also make our pets itch. So with the pollens and things that are inhaled, we generally get the runny eyes, the runny nose, but in our pets, it shows up more as itchy skin. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is when they inhale it, it causes something called atopy, which is just a fancy word for it. They've got allergies to something they inhaled. But the second problem is that pollen, if you look at it under a microscope, has all these little pointy ends on it, and it's actually extremely, extremely irritating. And that's why our nose runs and our eyes run. It's because our body is trying to basically make a flood to wash all that irritating pollen out of our system. So for our pets, you know, they've got all that stuff. If you think about it, they're lower to the ground. They're running through the grasses and the weeds, and all that pollen that has sunk down off the trees is getting on the pets, and it's just mechanically irritating, as you know. So that's part of the reason that they're so itchy and licking and chewing and rolling around and trying to get themselves rid of all that stuff. So we also can have pets who are allergic to proteins in their food, and it may be an intolerance or it may be a true allergy. So sometimes we have to, you know, differentiate which thing is causing them to have their itchy, broken out skin.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the biggest one, because what are some steps that you can take? Because for, in particular, my dog, it was her food. But it,
right.
For me, it was kind of weird because she only scratched during the summer. And it turned out that it wasn't really allergies. She had, like, a yeast. She was yeasty.
Right.
So, and it was the food.
Right. And so the reason it shows up more in the summer, even though it was a food intolerance, is that if it's hot and humid, yeast likes to grow in a hot, warm, moist environment. So that's why we get a lot of yeast down in the ear canals of the floppy-eared dogs. We see it in the groin or the armpits of the dogs very commonly, or under the neck, areas where there's just more moisture, and it gets, you know, kind of hot and sticky under there. So when the weather becomes hot and sticky, then that just contributes more to the yeast. But I can say that many, many dogs who have food intolerance, when they also will have environmental allergens, when we get the food problem straightened out and we make the gut happy, the environmental allergies become much less of a problem. And that's partly because 80% of the immune system is in the gut lining. So the bowel has to be happy, 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 happy in order for everything else to work right.
So, okay, let's say somebody out there who's listening and their pet is itchy like crazy. What are some of the first things you can do to eliminate problems? So start with food, or should you start with, like, bathing your dog more often?
Yeah, so it can be a multitude of things. So one of the things that you can do, if your pet goes outside and it's, you know, high pollen season, when they come in from outside, just take a damp rag and wipe it over their coat just to remove most of the pollen that has fallen onto them. Take a damp rag, wipe between the toes and on their pads, because you see so many of these dogs that are licking their feet chronically, and then That creates that dark, moist environment in between the pads, and then the yeast takes over, and then that becomes itchy, so it just becomes this never-ending cycle. So that's one of the, you know, it's cheap, it's easy. Just take a damp rag and wipe off your pet when they come inside and wipe their feet. You can, if they're getting hot spots or raw areas, you can use witch hazel on those areas. It dries it up, it doesn't sting, and it helps kill any bacteria or yeast that want to grow in that area. Omega-3 fatty acids, so that's basically fish oil, is a great natural anti-inflammatory, so that can help a lot of pets through their allergy season. Most pets can take antihistamines, but you would definitely want to talk to your veterinarian about which one would be most appropriate for your pet, what the dose would be, and whether it would interact with any other medical problems that they have. As far as the diet goes, the big buzzword that's gone around for the last few years has been grain-free. And so a lot of people say, oh, I put my pet on a grain-free diet and his allergies disappeared. Well, that sort of works and sort of doesn't work. And there's a big myth around that. And part of the problem is that pets tend to be allergic to the protein sources in the food. Now, all grains have proteins. All carbohydrates basically have some protein in them. So when the grains are taken out, which is the corn, wheat, soy, rice, it's replaced with another carbohydrate. So a grain-free diet just basically swapped one thing out for another. And so the carbohydrate that ends up getting put in is going to be peas or lentils or chickpeas or potatoes or sweet potatoes, tapioca. And so your pet may have a problem with that as well. So I generally find that switching from one dry food to a different dry food doesn't necessarily solve the problem. You want to look for a protein source that your pet has not been exposed to before. So if he's been eating a chicken-based food his whole life, get away from chicken. If he's been eating a beef-based food his whole life, get away from beef. Pick something that would be considered a novel protein. So rabbit is really good for that. Duck tends to be good for that. Sometimes venison, although energetically that's very hot and it adds more heat to the body, which can increase itching. So it's really just a matter of making a switch for the better and trying to get something that only has limited ingredients so that, you know, you're not scratching your head going, well, there's 15 things in that bag. I have no idea what he's allergic to.
Yeah, that's so true. I actually did that for my little dog, Chloe. I changed her food to fish because I never fed them, you know, fish. It was always chicken or beef,
yeah,
even turkey.
Yeah, fish is great, great source.
Yeah, and it helped her out so much. I was shocked because usually she doesn't eat food like that. She's very picky. She's surprisingly picky, and she took to the fish really well. And
that's good.
I like that you said the witch hazel, but I've always been concerned about it because, I mean, if I dry off her under her arms or her little toes with it, is it bad if she keeps licking that area and the witch hazel's there?
Yeah, no, it's not toxic to them. So, and it dries pretty quickly. So I don't have a problem using that on these guys. Coconut oil is also wonderful, so
really?
You can rub coconut oil into any dry patches. Coconut oil has lauric acid in it, which is antifungal and antibacterial. Very, very soothing, very good for the immune system, so that works really well.
Oh, wow, I did not know that, and I have so much coconut oil, too.
There you go. And if they lick that, it's absolutely fine. And for most pets, I will actually add some coconut oil to the diet along with the fish oil. So the fish oil provides the omega-3s, which are usually lacking in the diet. If you have your dog on a fish-based diet, she's getting more omega-3s, so that may be part of the reason why it's helping. But the coconut oil provides medium-chain triglycerides, which are just a little bit different, and it provides something, you know, a different nutritional source for the body and very safe for them.
So she's about six or 7 pounds. How much coconut oil would I put into her food?
So she could have a half teaspoon of coconut oil twice a day.
Half teaspoon. All right, that was just for me.
Yeah, and most pets really like it. So the rule of thumb on the coconut oil is about 1 teaspoon per 10 pounds of body weight per day or per meal, depending on how well your dog tolerates it. So I use a virgin organic coconut oil that's made for pets, and it works just phenomenally well. And actually, the one that I buy for my pets is actually the one I eat because I find that it actually tastes so much better than all the ones that I get at the grocery store.
I remember when I first took her to the vet, they wanted to put her on steroids, and I did do that for a while, and she didn't take to the steroids too well. It was like a little pill thing, and what could I have done instead of, I guess, giving her pills?
Yeah, so the steroids, I mean, that from a traditional standpoint, steroids are always the go-to for allergies, and 9 times out of 10, it's the go-to. And the great news is they will stop the allergic reaction. The bad news is there's tons of side effects with steroids. So they drink more, they urinate more. If they need to stay on it long-term, it's going to cause changes in the liver. It can raise the blood pressure. It can increase risk of blood clots. If you have a dog who has heart problems, it can make that worse. So steroids are not, you know, the way to go. And giving, for instance, a long-acting steroid injection that lasts for 6 to 8 weeks, well, if your dog has a problem and suddenly becomes diabetic, you can't get that back out of there. So if you do need to use a steroid, you want to use the lowest possible dose for the shortest possible amount of time. And sometimes we resort to that just for a quick fix, just because the dog is so miserable while we're trying to find the right food or the, you know, the right natural products that can help the pets. So I will usually, you know, the first thing I'm going to do when somebody comes in with an allergic dog, we're going to talk about things like just wiping them down when they come in from outside. If they're really bad and they've been bad for a long time, we might talk about allergy testing the dog to see what they're truly allergic to. You know, as far as environmental allergens, we can actually do a blood test for food allergies. And that just kind of speeds up the process, because then we know what we need to avoid right off the bat instead of doing trial and error with our food. And then if we find that we have a lot of environmental allergens, if it's stuff that we just can't avoid, then the pets can be desensitized, and it can either be with allergy injections that are given under the skin, or it can be they now have these new oral drops. So you just give your dog a few drops under the tongue a couple times a day. The desensitization, I would say, works about 80 to 85% of the time. So you get that much reduction in symptoms, which for some of these dogs, that's a lifesaver to keep them off the drugs.
You know, we've been talking about dogs, but can cats get allergies too?
Absolutely. We don't see it as often, but boy, when they do get them, they get them really good. So a rule of thumb with kitty cats, well, and a little bit with dogs even, is if the allergic breakout is around the face and the head and the neck, it's at the front end of the cat, and you're just seeing, you know, they're getting, you know, they're losing hair, they've got scabs, they've got crusts, and their face is just really broken out, 9 times out of 10, that's a food allergy. So we just need to change the diet for those guys. If it's on the back end of the cat, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a flea allergy or an environmental allergen. So cats are pretty nice that way. With dogs, with food allergies, very, very commonly, it will show up as a yeasty infection in, it can be both ears, but a lot of the times it's one ear. And it's just this chronic yeasty infection that just, you know, it'll respond to treatment. As soon as you stop the drugs, it just pops right up again. So that's, you know, usually a pretty clear indicator that we've got to change the diet around on those guys.
Are there any supplements that you would recommend to give your pet?
So some things that I really, really like, products that contain colostrum are really good for stimulating the immune system. You can use licorice root short term. It actually is sort of nature's steroid, so you could give licorice root tinctures. And the dose would depend on the product that you bought, but there are a million of them out there, and it should have dosing on the side. But that can be used for about a two-week period. So if you want to try a natural treatment to try to decrease that itching reaction, you could use a licorice root tincture, which will sort of act like a steroid. So again, you're going to use it for no more than 2 weeks at a time. But it can be very helpful for these itchy kids. And, you know, then again, the rinsing them off. Sometimes using a little bit of local honey, as long as your dog is not a diabetic, giving them, a spoon with a lick of local honey will help kind of get their immune system to recognize the local allergens and then react appropriately to it.
I've always been kind of confused about how many times you should bathe your dog, because there's always the, you shouldn't bathe your dog too much. So I remember my grandmother would say you do it maybe twice a month. And for me, my dog is stinky, and she needs it way more than that. But is there an overbathing thing or no?
You know, it really depends on the pet. So if I've got pets with infected skin and, you know, I'm trying to get, you know, rather than going straight to the antibiotics, a lot of times I will try bathing with, you know, some sort of medicated shampoo or some sort of herbal shampoo that has antibacterial activity. And some of those pets, I might be bathing them every single day and really scrubbing to get the bacteria out of the pores. And so, you know, sometimes we have a medical reason why they need to be bathed a lot. For the general public, for the general healthy pet, you know, if you need to wash them once a week because it's a white dog who goes out and rolls in the mud every week, or your dog just, you know, has a doggy odor, which they really shouldn't. So if you're getting a doggy odor, a lot of times that means you've got a little bit of yeast or bacterial overgrowth. You know, then you need to bathe them as often as it takes to keep that under control. Just make sure that you're using something that doesn't have a lot of chemicals, like the lauryl sulfate, which is drying to the coat. So if you use an oil-based shampoo that is going to moisturize the coat and skin and keep it healthy, you can almost bathe them as much as you want.
Now, they do sell those animal conditioners. Should you be buying those too, or is that kind of overkill?
That's a little bit of overkill if you're using a nice moisturizing shampoo, really.
I really appreciate you being here, that you gave a lot of great information.
Thank you very much. And if people would like more information on these topics or other holistic stuff, my website's drjudymorgan.com. There's a ton of information on there.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.